Let us prepare our hearts for prayer. God, remember those who are in any kind of trouble. Comfort and heal those in illness and pain, those whose nerves have broken under the tension of living, those whom the kindly light of reason has left, those who in their own foolishness have become the victim of drugs or habits that they cannot break and which are breaking them. Bless all little children and protect them, that they may grow up in innocence and joy. Help all young people to find the ideals that will protect them from the strong temptations that beset them. Renew your church, reunite its divisions, and strengthen witness. Make lovely its service to you and neighbors. Bless our country and world. Bless all our loved ones, our absent friends, and help us always to remember that nothing can separate them or us from your love in life or in death. Show your love to each one of us. Be light in darkness, our strength in weakness, our protection in temptation, our refuge in danger, or comfort in sorrow. Bring us at last with all your faithful people to the life in which there is no more weakness or suffering, temptation or sorrow. Be our eternal friend as you are to those that have gone ahead of us to your final glory and peace. All this we ask through Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit we honor and praise. Draw us into, as we pray, the prayer you give to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if the usher would please come forward, may we join in the joy of offering the gifts God has lavishly poured upon us. Thank you. power, you generously share your divine power with us in the plain earthenware that we are as this church of your beloved Son, Jesus. Our offering of time, money, and ourselves is to provide such humble media for the use of your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. You know, I'm always amazed at how God works in mysterious ways. And it's not about me being up here. But Pam and I talked this week, and she said she had prepared her children's message with the scripture that was this week's scripture that's laid out each month where everything's falling up here. I hope it's not anything I need. And I said, well, I'm preaching on We Are the Church. And the first thing she said was, well, why don't you sing to him when you stand up there? Well, I'm not going to do that. But then it goes on to say, when I listened to her children's sermon this morning, and she talks a man about with the withered hand, well, I'm getting ready to read some scripture that talks about the man with the withered hand. And I says, our minds do work together, even though it wasn't the printed thing. So he does work in mysterious ways. I'd like to share with you Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. But if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they are warm. But how can one be warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, Long Memorial, once again, is going through a period of transition. It's a Methodist tradition. They have, over years, have always rotated pastors. They didn't want any one pastor to stay in the leadership role to take control of a church, so they had put it where they rotate. It used to be every 4 years, then it got to be 6 years, and then now some are staying much longer. But it was always part of the Methodist tradition of having rotations. In the early days, there were circuit riders, and churches wouldn't have a preacher but once a month or maybe every other week. So the lay persons of each individual church were very important to keep the works of the church together. You know, as I look back at the past, and I think now is the time to look at the past and look forward to the future. As I decided to start looking back to the back, and once again, let me put up a little word for the web page. What a great job that is. I went on the website and looked up the history that the history committee has put together, and it's real easy to look up the church history of this church, and I recommend it to all, but there's so much information there. So please go to our website. Well, I noticed since I first came to Long Memorial, which that was at a 3 or 4 year old, there's been 16 pastors at Long Memorial. 16. And, you know, I started thinking about what I remembered about each, and, you know, you always remember something a little about them. And I thought, well, when I first came, Dr. Garlington was our pastor, and I remember hearing my daddy talk about him. I do not remember him because I was too young to probably didn't go to 11 o'clock service, but I don't remember. But I remember him talking about what a strong force he was and how he was impressed, and that's why we joined Long Memorial. My mama was a granddaughter of a Presbyterian preacher, and my daddy grew up in a Southern Baptist church with a strong faith in Southern Baptist. So when they married, they had a wild before they decided what church they were going to. And I think Dr. Garlington was the sales pitch that got him to go to Long Memorial. So I remember his stories. The next pastor that I remember is A.L. Thompson. He had a limp. I think he might have had polio early in life. And I had a granddaddy at that time that was my favorite granddaddy. It was looking after me and sharing a lot of stories. And he had a limp. So we had I just felt like I was with granddaddy when I was with him. And he did our confirmation class. And I was confirmed and baptized here at this altar by him. And I will always remember him. And he also lived in the house that was right behind here at that time. That's no longer there. But we had one or two times we met at the parsonage next door. I remember John Mays. His daughter married Lou's brother. But I was in college during the time he was here, so I don't remember a whole lot. But I do remember that. John Hobbs was a preacher that could stand up here and put his hands on his hips and swing around and preach and never looked at a note. Never forget that. Charles Smith did the renovations here put new offices and stuff like that. But I remember, and he could sing. Bill Sampson's son sits out there. I remember him because I was finance committee, and we went on the road a couple of times to training meetings and had some very interesting conversations and got to be close friends. And he was a good mentor and help when I was in the hospital. So I remember Bill. Mike Fries, he and I went on a mission trip together with the MYF. And I tell y'all, I was on Oceanfront Room, and it was the nastiest place I've ever been to. We were at Holden Beach, and this was an apartment on the end of the pier. I don't know who stayed in those apartments, but it was bad. And I said, Mike, are we going to stay in this? He said, that's part of mission work, sacrifice. And then T.R. Miller was here when I was in the hospital, and he spent a lot of time in my room, and I appreciate the time he spent giving me support and my family during that time. And I remember stuff about other pastors, too. They're not the only ones, but they're just a few to highlight those. But then I started thinking, what about the lay people? What about the lay person as I was growing up? How much did they mean to me? And I started thinking that ball really went over heavy toward the people that were in my life as I was growing up. And it's a lot of them. I'm not going to mention them all because we'd be here past the deadline, whatever that is. But I'm going to mention a few. Judy Warren was the leader of the kindergarten back in those days. You know, public school didn't have kindergarten, so we had kindergarten at Long Memorial. And I was 4 years old. Mother had just had twins. My younger brothers were twins. And I think she wanted to get me out of the house so she could spend more time with the twins. But she asked Judy if I could join kindergarten at 4 years old. She agreed. So I started kindergarten at four and again at five. The funniest story is in the third grade, we were talking about our past in class. And I told everybody, well, I'd gone to kindergarten 2 years bragging about it. And Dr. Charles Perkins says, Tommy, I don't think I'd tell everybody I flunked kindergarten. So that was the last time I bragged about it, going to kindergarten 2 years. Long Memorial had a brand new music major that was a member at that time when I was in grammar school. And she wanted to start a youth choir, Nancy Cole. And she convinced me that I could sing in a choir. And at that time, I would not stand up here. I did not even hardly talk to strangers. Daddy always got on me because I wouldn't look at people when they talked to me. But she convinced me I could sing in a choir, and we had the nicest white little robes. I mean, we looked like angels standing up there. And we would stand right over here. They used to have an accordion wall that they could open up and close, because that was Sunday school room too if they wanted to. And we'd stand there and sing. And I thank her for that encouragement, because it meant a lot to me, because from there it went to singing as a sophomore in the adult choir here, high school choir for 4 years, ECU men's club, and its singing has always been an important part of my life, and Nancy was the one that planted that seed. Dr. Robert Long has a bell right here as being the district lay leader. In the whole district, he was the number one lay leader, lay person, I say. He was always here. We had an old boiler then in the mornings. If you wanted heat, he had to get here early and get that boiler going. And he was here. In the summer, all the classrooms had flowers. Dr. Long was out picking them up, and he had them in there. Then I think about all my Sunday school teachers. Bobby Long, Gordon Allen, Stoney. Max, all I got to say is Stoney. Ralph Lewis Sr., Martin Mickey, and finally, my dad. I don't know how Daddy did it. You know, we had prepared Sunday school texts, but every week he could bring me in part of the lesson, something I had done or said, and I said, Daddy, please quit using me every Sunday. Not all of them were complimentary, but But he touched a lot of folks, and I appreciate him doing that. But it was a test for me and him. And then I remember Lawrence Fellison and Leon's at that now, and Claiborne, and all these folks have meant so much to Long Memorial. And that's where we say we are the church. It's not just one pastor. It's not just one layperson. We all work together. And the great work by all these have made Long Memorial what they are. And in my mind, right now we're working together probably better than I can ever remember as a church. The Fun Day. Who would have ever thought by now we would be making $37,000 a profit on a fundraiser for a thing? What amazing support from all the people, not only just one group or one person, it's all the groups. It's the Ladies Society, it's the men, it's the youth. We're all working together as one. We are the church. Today, as we talk about the church, I'd like to focus on the goose and the lesson that God teaches us through this bird. You know, Robert McNeish loved geese. He was a science teacher, and now he's around 89 years old, and he lived in Baltimore, Maryland. He had a strong faith in God, and he saw God had lessons to teach us, and so he by using the goose, so he wrote a sermon, Lessons from the Geese, that he gave to his local church in 1972. And I'd like to share some of that with you this morning. I think it's very timely in our transition time. As each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock had 71% more flying range than if each bird flew alone. 71% more efficient. His lesson here was people who share a common direction and sense of community can get where they're going quicker and easier because they're traveling on the thrust of one another, working together as one unit. You know, in part of one of the classes we had when we were in the leadership group, they were talking about trends and memberships dropping in churches, but then you had these mega churches that are growing tremendously. I mean, you see them TV, thousands of folks in an auditorium coming to church. And it asked the folks, says, well, why do you go to such a large church? Do you have a feeling? You don't have the feeling of a small church and individual touch. They said, no. In the mega churches, they have small groups for us. I mean, they have small groups for Bible study. They have small groups for sewing, small groups for bridge, small groups for this. They identify with their church for those small groups that they have there. And they feel more in touch with the mega church than do the small churches. So that's where we need to reach out. Find people's interest in what we can do together and unite as a church. Another finding he had was whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to fly alone and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front. The lesson from this, if you have as much sense as a goose, we will join in formations with those who are headed where we want it to go. Join in. If you see something going in a direction you want to follow, don't lay back. Be involved. Because once you're in a group, we can do much more. The next finding he made was when the lead goose gets tired, he rotates back into the formation another goose flies at the point position. When the lead gets tired, he goes back and lets another one that's more rested take the lead. That's part of the Methodist Church. That's when pastors are rotated. That's when the nominating committee, when someone's tired of in a position, let the nominating committee know there's time for someone else. Rotate folks in. Put new energy. Another finding he found was the geese in formation honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. So when you hear the geese flying over, honk, honk, that's the one in the back saying, keep up the speed, don't slow down. In the church, honk, but honk in a positive term. Honk for a positive speed, not be negative. We don't need the negative honks. We need the positive honks. And the final final finding he made was when a goose gets sick or wounded or shot down, two geese always drop out of formation and follow their fellow member down to help provide protection. They stay with this member out of the flock until he or she is either able to fly again or dies. Then they launch out on their own to make their own formation and gather up with another flock. The lesson here, if we have as much sense as the geese, we'll stand by each other like that. That's where we serve as a church. When we have sick, when we have shut-ins, we need to drop out of the flock and make the visit and spend time with them. As I say, that was written in 1972, and I think it's very timely today. In closing, let us remember, we are a pilgrim people, and our task is to keep flying together in formation toward the bright skies of possibility and promise that God still has in the mind for the people of United Methodist Church. Amen. Now, if we will, we'll turn in our hymnal to page 356, our final hymn. Now, may the Lord bless and keep you. May God continue to hold us in formation, in love with God and each other, now and forever.